Thank you so much for coming. Anya's death and passing touches all of us that are here, and it touches us in different ways. But for those of us who have children, it has endeared our children to us. One mother said, "We just took time this evening to hold our children tight." A father whose son is studying out of state said, it makes me want to run to Arkansas and bring my son home. And it's right that we have that sense of emotion, that sense of belonging to our children belonging to us. But the blessing is this, that it gives us an opportunity to quantify afresh the love we have for our children. And then a bigger blessing yet is it helps us understand the love that God has for us. And if you stop and think about the love he had for his own son, and that he loved the world enough that he gave his only son, it helps put in perspective the sacrifices of our God, who is sovereign, who understands life, who understands us, who understands all of what he wants to do on this earth. This past week, the thing that I have probably marveled at time and again is God's timing. And if you were to start making a list of all the things that could have been different depending on what would have happened, it would be endless. In fact, Anya really wasn't planning to be here at one point this week. She had planned to be in Texas helping paint a house. But circumstances changed. And you could just stack. I have just over and again in these days said, I just have marveled at God's timing. And even the exact place of the impact, all of that, it can't be a coincidence, my friends. And probably the overriding sense I have had these days is just worship to God. I can't make any sense out of it, but I don't have to. But that the Lord draws us to Him is what's important. And this morning, if Anya were here, that's what she would want us to be talking about. The writer of Ecclesiastes, in Ecclesiastes 12, says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." And then he goes ahead and he lists sort of the aging process, what happens in the aging process, and how we get older, and things get dim, and things start weakening. But at the very end, he uses four word pictures that I'm not sure he really intends to describe death at an old age. He says, "The silver cord be broken. The silver cord be loosed. The golden bowl broken. The pitcher broken at the fountain, or the wheel at the cistern." It makes me think he is talking at that point about something that happened suddenly that stopped things in its tracks. I think the golden bowl is broken. All of these are to call us to Him. And that's what He's calling us to today. Let's pray. Our Lord and Father, we pause with gratitude in worship, in honor of You, in honor of Your design. Thank You for loaning Anya to us these short 18 years. Thank You for the gift that she was to many. Thank You that You have taken her home to be with Yourself. Though it leaves us wondering, though it leaves us hurting and grieving and asking questions that don't have answers, I pray, Father, that this morning You would help us to accept the answers that we can understand and to pin our faith in You, on You, and on Your purposes. Bless the remainder of this service for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we'll have three songs led by our song leader, Gerald Miller, and then we'll have two numbers by an ensemble.
The family has communicated their deep desire that this service be one of worship, of honor and glory to the God who gave Anya life and also took her home to be with Him. There's a sense in which today, this is Anya's wedding, the marriage supper of the Lamb for her. This is a funeral. It's also a celebration. And only believers who know and love God can see it both ways. God has been writing a story for thousands of years. A story of the redemption of His people. A story of a father's love for his children. And Anya is now experiencing the fullest redemption that exists. She is fully worshiping. Her story continues in the heavenlies. Today, Anya sings and soars with her father. We confess that we don't know how God works. But we also confess that God is good, that He is at work in the world. And our prayer this morning, I think, can be that we join Him in His work by worshiping. When there are no words, there's worship. Music was such a huge part of Anya's life, and it seems appropriate to sing. I encourage us to experience the music as our offering and gift to the Lord as we remember the life and love of Anya. The music today has been printed to aid in our worship. You have these song books. I invite you to turn to page 1. Because music was such a huge part of Anya's life, I'd invite us to interpret the text and the music as we sing. Maybe this is one way to recognize her contribution to all of us in her music. The first song is Rejoice, the Lord is King. All of us know that John and Anya were very close. This is John's personal favorite. And it's a song he led 2 Sundays ago here in church. And it captures the theme of praising Him through all of the stuff of life. And John wanted us to sing this song first because it moves our focus off our grief to the Lamb of God and gives voice to the true realities of life and the victory that has already been won in Jesus. Rejoice, the Lord is King.
My soul, rejoice, the Lord is King.
When We Are Called to Sing Your Praise is the next song. This song was a Kansas Youth Chorus song, and it was always sung as the second song. Now, John and Anya made many good memories in Kansas Youth Chorus, something they did together with tremendous enjoyment. And this song gives voice to the intense suffering that we face in earth, but at the same time looks upward through our suffering, that God is with us, that it's okay to grieve, that we can bring ourselves and our pain to Him, and He will walk the shadowed way with us and keep us in His care. Verse 1, I'd like for us to all sing unison in the melody line, and verse 2 and 3 in parts. Verse 1 all together, the melody line. 2 and 3 in parts. Page 4, Come Let Us Sing the Song of Songs. The theme of the service today is Worthy as the Lamb, and it's what Anya would have wanted. Not a focus on her, but on the Lamb Himself. I heard the family say yesterday that grieving is important, but worshiping through the grieving is maybe more important. Revelation says, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Again, let's sing verse 1, all on the melody, the remaining verses in parts.
Continue to lift our hearts in worship and praise to our God. Brother Arlen Knisley, who is a first cousin to Laverne, will be leading us in continued worship. And following that, Brother Arthur Knisley, married to Laverne's sister Lillian, will be having the message. Brother Arlen.
Shalom. Peace to all.
I'd like to read parts of Psalm 46, 47, and 48 this morning. If you can access your Bibles, I encourage you to do so, to check out the context. This isn't expository, but I don't think I am doing these psalms an injustice by excerpting from them intermittently. Psalm 47 begins, "Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome, a great king over all the earth." Now verse 5 and beyond. "God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a hymn. God is King over the nations. God sits on his holy throne." Turn to number 7 in your song packets. Gerald will be leading us in singing this and several more favorites of Anya or the Family's. As Gerald said, worship is always a right response to life. It's not the only right response, but it is always a right response. Angels holy, high, and lowly. As you already know, Laverne and Rebecca and their family have made it clear that their vision for today's gathering is to glorify God. I wonder if some of you are thinking, now wait a minute, we and they should be allowed to grieve. I agree completely. I believe that one of the important ways that we will glorify God is by seeking healing for our shattered hearts. And to find healing, we must certainly grieve. We must walk through this valley of death. We must process the loss, the emptiness, the questions. In doing so, I believe we can bring glory to God. God alone can heal our hearts. And so any healing that we experience today will bring Him honor, since it is His work. Psalm 46:1 affirms, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 48 concludes with this comment about Zion, or Jerusalem, the city that for the Hebrews symbolized the presence of God. Walk about Zion, go all around it, count its towers, consider well its ramparts. Go through its citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide forever. Let's sing page 8. Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth through devious ways. As well as the days upcoming, I'd like to encourage each of us to find our own right way of processing. I think this has two implications. First, in the spirit of graciousness that Anya so eloquently lived. And by the way, did you know that Anya means gracious or grace of God? Fitting, isn't it? In that spirit, let us be gracious toward each other in our individual journeys toward healing. Part of the time since the accident, I could barely talk without risking a fresh flood of tears. My children handled it differently. If anything, I think they squabbled more. Some of you are ready to laugh again. Some of you have barely cried yet. To Anya's family and her close friends and her piano students, please accept this blessing from the rest of us. We want you to be at peace with where you are in the grieving process. It's true that most of us don't understand what you are feeling, but we're okay with it. And we pray that you will have the grace to allow the rest of us some clumsiness in our own grieving and in our loving you through our grief. Secondly, I observe that Anya was basically comfortable with who she was, whether different from or like those around her. In this spirit, today, let's seek to be comfortable with who we are and where we are. Let's not condemn ourselves for feeling or responding, for not feeling or responding like our neighbor. Remember, it is before God that we stand or fall. Let us seek to walk free of the need to impress. Let us seek to walk free of the fear of what others may think. See, if we clutter our hearts with these kinds of irrelevant concerns, we are much more likely to miss the important things that God is trying to tell us. Things about how he feels about us, how complete his care is for us, where he wants us to grow. I think I can make a universal statement here. God is wanting your attention. He is wanting to talk to you personally. Psalm 46:10 instructs us, "Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth." The New American says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." Other translations and paraphrases say things like, "Be at peace with the knowledge that I am God." Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. Stop your fighting. Let go of your concerns. Be silent and know that he is God. He is wanting to pull you close. And as he pulls you close to him, he wants to conform you into the image of his son. His is a love that will not let you go. And the right response is to rest your weary soul in him. Turn to page 10, number 514, "O love that will not let me go."
Oh, love that will not. seeketh me through faith.
More accustomed to seeking advice from you as my mentor than I am to give advice, but I'm going to switch roles this morning. And to the two of you, in the days and months and years ahead, we as a congregation free you to put healing of your heart ahead of meeting the needs of the congregation. You have so tirelessly put our needs ahead of your own for so many years. Now we want to care for you too. If you need help or prayer or encouragement or solitude, please let us know. Your wholeness is really important to us. And for the rest of us, particularly those of us from center, the body here. Let me remind you that long after the rest of us have moved on, Laverne and Rebecca, their family and I as close friends, are still going to need us to walk with them and to listen to them and to talk to them about Anya. After a while, they will probably feel a little awkward starting conversations about Anya. But they're going to be aching to hear somebody else talk about her. Our eulogizing today is okay, it's good. But it's going to be more important and I think even more helpful in the months and years to come. Page 9, Father, in thy mysterious presence, is an ongoing prayer that we are going to pray for ourselves and for Laverne, Rick, and their family.
Father, in thy mysterious presence, be.
3.
Family in shock. We're friends of Anya. We're neighbors. We're a caring community. We're business associates of Miller Seed. We're people that are right with God, and there's some that aren't right with God. And I'm trying to talk to everyone. God has to be the one that intercedes. God has to be the one that ministers so that everyone hears what they need to hear. Let's pray. Father, we wait before you. Words are inadequate. You are the only one that can take one set of words and make it right for each of us. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be here and do just that. We look to you. We trust you. And we continue the theme of worship through suffering. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Laverne called me 10 minutes before I left for the airport and asked me if I would speak. I accepted, not because I feel adequate, but because I wanted to do anything I can to help. And isn't that the way we all feel? We want to do anything we can to help. Laverne and Rebecca, you've taken your responsibility very seriously to minister and to give to people. I echo what has already been said. We want to care for you now. Laverne and Rebecca are so used to being caring for other people that if in a few weeks from now you ask them to be normal, they'll probably try. But let's be understanding that this is very painful and that it doesn't go away in a few weeks. If I cry, please don't get worried. I'll be okay. I'm thinking about Laverne and Rebecca's loss. I'm thinking about the pain that you all feel. I'm remembering. But God is good. And we choose to worship Him. I remember so well when our daughter Carrie, our 6-year-old daughter Carrie, suddenly became unconscious from a brain aneurysm. And we couldn't say goodbye. But I was naive. I said, God, I'm a missionary. I'm trying to serve you the best I can. Surely you will heal her.
God chose not to. And I learned. We went through difficult months of our lives. But God sustained us. And He'll sustain you. You're going to... You're going to hurt like you never have. It's going to go on and on and on. But God can make you more beautiful people. You'll be able to connect with people in ways that you've never been able to connect before. Because you know pain from close up. God will use it. We don't have to act like it doesn't hurt. We don't have to try to be normal. We can take our pain to God. And even though it still hurts, we can worship Him through that. I remember so well the day of Carrie's funeral. God gave me the grace to say, and I want to say it to you, and I want to say it to all of you. God gave me the grace to say, if I choose to believe that God is good, with time I'll be able to see that. If I choose to believe that God is bad, that God is harsh, that God is unloving, with time I'll be able to see that. The same boiling water that makes an egg hard makes a potato soft. It's not the experience, it's who you allow yourselves to be. I don't think Lil and I are the same confident young people, the self-assured people that we were 20 years ago. God has done so much in our lives, and He's done a lot through pain. And God is good. Life is full of paradoxes. I'm going to talk about some of those, and I don't have easy answers. I can say all those nice things, and they're true. But they seem like paradoxes, because paradoxes is... this is true and this is true, but they seem to clash. They clash because we don't see the big picture. I just want to talk about those a little bit and just recognize that we don't have words. We can't explain it. And sometimes when we try, they seem hollow. God is good, but that doesn't make life pain-free. God gives grace, but it still hurts. God loves us, but He allows painful things in our lives. I want to share with you the story that's so meaningful to me. I've gone back to it hundreds of times. And it's the story of Job. If you look at the text, it looks as though God is bragging about my servant Job. And our ancient enemy says, yes, but... it's because you bless him. It's because you've allowed him to have everything that counts in life. And God said, no, that's not true. I know Job. I know that he loves me because of who I am. And yes, I give you permission to take these things away so that it will be abundantly clear. And Job kept on loving God and worshiping God. Laverne, Rebecca, all of you people, All of you who are friends of Anya, when we worship God in the midst of our pain, not because everything is going good, but in spite of things not going good, when we worship Him, God is glorified. And God can brag about His people. These people love me and worship me and serve me, not because everything is going fine, but because they trust me. And when we trust Him, and when we love Him, and when we sing during these tough, tough times, God gets glorified. I am blessed by the story of Jesus at Lazarus' tomb. Jesus cried. I think Jesus cried because of His personal loss. He cried because He was feeling others' pain. But I think He was also crying because this isn't the way life was meant to be. Death, suffering, pain, that's not the original plan. But God, in His infinite wisdom, blocked the way to the tree of life so we wouldn't be here forever living like this. Life on earth is preparation for the real deal. Anya's ahead of us. We're hurting. We're in pain. We miss her. But she's safe. She's at home. She's at her final destination. She's where we want to be. But I want you just to know that Jesus cries. Jesus cries because it hurts. And He knows what pain is like. And He hates death. But He overcame death. And because He overcame death, we can stare it in the face. And instead of it being our enemy, death can be our friend. You see, death is your enemy if it once and for all takes away your chance of getting right with God. But if you're right with God, it's a transition point to something even better. But we're handicapped because we can't see. And so we trust. And so we wait. First Corinthians 10:13, applied to today, says, God will never allow anything so terrible, so difficult, that I don't have any choice, and I have to push God away and be bitter and hard. Today is tough. The days to come will be tougher. Today you're feeling sustained by the community. You're still in shock. I remember the first days, the empty place at the table, when there's no one else around. You just cry. That's when we need to hang on to God and say, life is stopped. The rest of the world can keep on going. But life is forever changed. But even then, God is good, and He will sustain us. 2 Corinthians 1:3 and 4 says that God comforts us so that we can comfort other people. Don't try to hurry it. But God will give you words, and you'll be able to comfort other people in ways that no one else can, because you understand. Our sadness is for us and not for Anya. Let me tell you about heaven. It's a beautiful place for prepared people. Let me just read a little bit about what the Bible says. I want you to feel John's grappling for words. He's doing the best he can, but he's still limited. Listen to this. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away." And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of the God and of the Lamb, and in the midst of the street of it. And on either side of the river there was the tree of life, which bare the 12 manner of fruit, and yielding her fruit each month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there was no more curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their forehead, and there shall be no more night, and they need no more candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever. So it's a place there's no tears, no pain, no sadness, no torment, no temptation, no leaving. You're in the presence of God. Did you notice that? They'll see God's face. We will see God's face once we get there. It's a place of singing and worship, and it never ends. Allow me to just make a few comments. At a place like this, some of you are comfortable, some of you are cold. Some of you are just, I'm talking about temperature. Some of you love the city like I do. Some of you need the beauty of nature. I think everyone will have their place. Those of you who get cold in a meeting like this won't have to wear sweaters. You'll have personal climate control. You'll be able to be in the presence of God, singing in the choir, having quality one-on-one time with Jesus, and be in the archives understanding why this happened and why that happened, all at the same time. You'll enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's something special that happens when we eat together. It will be beautiful. Because I didn't live here in this community for the last 27 years. I just come home for furlough and a 1-year sabbatical in 2007. I don't know Anya as well as you did, but I've been making my rounds and I've been asking about Anya. And so I just want to tell you what I've heard. I heard some beautiful things this morning. I just want to tell you what I've heard. It's our way of celebrating. This is who Anya was. And it's our way of saying her life wasn't wasted. She impacted us. She loved music and singing. She had a deep commitment to God. She cared about other people. She wrote an encouraging email to my daughter Sherry, who's been sick for 3 years. She did that in the last 2 weeks. She was relational. She loved to have fun. Someone said she was almost angelic. She was quiet and she was reserved. She was pure-spirited. She was loyal. She had a maturity beyond her years, yet she was carefree. She would listen. She would laugh. She was a joy giver. She was gentle. She gave love to children. She babysat. She was very affirming. She was transparent. She was sincere. She was at peace with herself. She was just good. She was super sensitive. She had amazing talent and inner beauty. And someone said, this isn't just something I'm saying because she died. I'd have told you the same thing if she'd still be living. She was quietly supportive. She was affirming. She cheered for the underdog. She was very talented, yet unassuming. She was a gifted singer and on the piano. She could draw. She was sweet. She was supportive. She was relational. She was comfortable. She was good with children. She was a woman of God. She would play games. She would laugh. She would enjoy life. She was passionate about Jesus. She was sweet. There was light in her face. She was a special niece. Relationships were important to her. She told her mother everything that happened. She was a joy giver. She lived joyfully. She gave friendship. She enjoyed beauty. She had attention to detail. There was beauty from the inside out. One time she said, when she was serving someone else, she said, I'm so glad I can do this for you. She extended grace to others. She created beauty, yet she was humble. She was open-handed. She didn't have a fist with God. She was gifted. She lived a life of grace. She extended grace to others. She didn't condemn others. She became a Christian at an early age. She was the essence of purity. She grasped, listen to this, she grasped the essence of salvation in a way that many good people don't understand. That's interesting. She had the freedom to be at rest, to be quiet. She didn't have to be in the public eye. She impacted people. She was secure. She had a quiet joy. She had a smile. She had laughter. She was graciousness embodied. She was a friend to everyone. Someone said, and who wasn't her friend? Anya was music, figuratively, someone said. She would sing at the piano. She would draw. She was quiet. She was complex. She had depth. She loved nieces and nephews. She had sparkle. She was real. She was a giving servant. She had maturity beyond her years. She attracted people. She pointed people to Jesus. She was gifted, yet not intimidating. One time she requested prayer that she could be humble, and those around her didn't feel that she was proud. She didn't have any sisters, so she adopted big sisters in older girls. She genuinely complimented people. She wasn't perfect, but she didn't let her struggles win the day. She kept them in perspective. I believe Anya was prepared for heaven, and she joined the heavenly chorus without missing a beat. Laverne and Rebecca, I want to say, the way you've invested in her life, the way that you delighted to find her giftedness and to help her develop, prepared her for heaven. You see, when we, in our soul, through music and through song, which was her language, when we develop in those ways, our spirit can develop. And she is a better person. She's able to be in a better place in heaven than if she had just became a Christian yesterday, just the day before she died. The person who accepts Jesus as their Savior the day before they die goes to heaven. And they will delight in life. But the Anyas, the people who have committed themselves to expressing worship through their giftedness, develop their spirit in ways that prepare them to have front row seats and to do what they do in worship joyfully. I believe that was Anya. Maybe you're wondering what Anya would say if she'd be speaking to us this morning. Laverne shared with me something that was in her journal, and I believe it gives us a clue of what she would say. This probably isn't original with her, although I didn't have time to check. But this is a saying that was in her journal 11 months ago. Listen to this. In bold faith and persistent trust comes the hushed peace of a quiet spirit. Let me just take that apart, and you think about what she would be saying if she'd be talking to you this morning. Bold faith means risk-taking faith. It's believing when you can't see how this is going to work. It's not the path of the majority. It's like a child putting her hand in her daddy and going where she doesn't know. It doesn't make sense. But I go because I trust. I think she would say that to all of us. In bold faith. This doesn't make sense. This doesn't feel right. But in bold faith, we choose to worship. Persistent trust. It's this idea of keeping on, keeping on. It's trusting when it doesn't feel safe. It's not the prosperity gospel that says God owes it to you and everything's going to turn out fine. It's not the instant microwave stuff. Persistent faith means, persistent trust means that we don't dictate to God what He will do. You see, if we could control life, if we could push buttons and make so that it didn't happen, we wouldn't need God. But we have to trust because we don't understand and because it hurts. And then she talked about a quiet peace or a hushed peace of a quiet spirit. It's allowing God to be God. It's resting even though we can't figure it out. It's not running from pain. It's not trying to ignore it. It's not just saying nice things to impress people. It's being real. That saying was, in bold faith and persistent trust comes the hushed spirit of a quiet peace. I think that was her longing. That's what she was grasping for. And I think that would give us a clue about something that she would want to say to us. Now I want to say a few practical things. During the year after Carrie died, it was incredibly stressful. My eyes were open when someone said that there's a high percentage of people who divorce in the first year after their child dies. You see, it's not easy to bury our parent or to say goodbye to old people. But when it's my child, everything is backwards. It doesn't make sense. But then I understood this. It's so easy to grieve alone and to think my spouse's silence must be because I've done something wrong and she's grappling with feelings with me. That happens so often. That I was quiet and Lil was quiet and we were guessing. But then we learned to just stop and talk. And it was able to draw us closer together. Whereas if you're quiet, if you try to be brave and to do it alone, you can move away from each other. That's for all of you. You're going to feel pain. Young people, you're going to feel pain. And you're going to be quiet. And you're going to be guessing, what did I do wrong? Why is she so quiet? It's so much more healthy to say, I'm just really hurting. This reminds me of Anya. I wish you were here. It's so much better to share pain in community. And to bond than to quietly move apart because you're guessing about what's happening. You're going to need each other. You as a caring community want to reach out. And you're going to do the best you can. And I know you will. Something I read not too long ago is this. Someone said that at about 6 weeks after the funeral, we just naturally kind of forget. And we go back into normal mode. That is precisely when family needs to know that Anya hasn't been forgotten and that other people are hurting too. Would some of you just mind marking 6 weeks and trying to care, not just at 6 weeks, but on every anniversary, on every birthday, and to remember, because that's one of the most therapeutic things you can do, is to remember and to cherish. My wife and I lived in Latin America, where the value of not hurting people is highly held. It's our adopted culture, and we love our people. But they were being nice to us. They talked about carry behind our backs, but they didn't want us to cry. We thought Carrie is a nobody. We thought nobody missed Carrie. We missed each other. I know you won't do that because that's not our culture. But do my heart soars when someone tells memories about my Carrie because she did impact the world and she did count. So do the family, you young people, remember. It could have been different, but it wasn't. In 1 second, Anya's vehicle was traveling 6 car lengths. In 1 second, Anya's vehicle was traveling 6 car lengths. What happened couldn't have happened unless God said, "This is the time." And we don't understand. God is sovereign. Yesterday, I had the chance of witnessing Troy talking to the family. And I saw forgiveness. I saw beauty. God, by His beautiful design, planned that we would be able to forgive. Forgiveness means that I give up my right to clench my fist at you. Laverne and Rebecca and their family did that. And I want us as a community to do that. Jesus said, Matthew 18, that forgiving other people is inseparably linked to being able to receive forgiveness from God. Did you know that? You can't be forgiven by God and saying, "It's just for me." Forgiveness has to be given. And I'm told that was Anya. That was extending grace. Anya would want us to do that too. Jesus would say, "You've received grace, extend it to others." May our love and forgiveness be noticeable. May people around us in this
the lawsuit crazy world, may we live differently so that people hear and understand that we love each other and that that draw attention to our God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're saying goodbye to Anya's body. We know that Anya is alive and well, but it still hurts. These are last moments before we put the casket in the grave. I pray that you would comfort us. I pray that you would sustain us. I pray that you would help us to cherish relationship and to celebrate friendship. Father, when there are those of us, because we have loved Anya deeply, when there are those of us who grapple with you, with wanting things to be different, please understand that our heart is submissive and that we need time to process and that we don't mean to be angry with you. Please understand and please receive our love, our adoration, our worship, because you are worthy. Not just when everything goes well, but you're worthy of our worship when things don't go well. And we request that you would use us in the battle against wickedness to draw people's attention to you and the way Christians face tragedy and the way we forgive and the way we love. May you heal. May you comfort. May you sustain. That's our prayer. May it be for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Find us here this day.
Continues to be lifted this morning in praise and adoration. Brother Paul Knisley will come and will make a number of comments And then we'll read the obituary. Paul, like Brother Arthur, has suffered a loss in their family some years ago and is uniquely qualified, like Arthur, to talk personally about the pain. So Brother Paul.
Laverne and Rebecca and your family, your sons, girlfriend, wives, children, uncles and aunts, cousins, lots and lots of friends beside all of us who are related in one way or another. And it is a time of deep caring. We bless you and your family. You have modeled for us what it means to be a loving, caring family. We have had a long working relationship. Some of you know about that. And we also have simply enjoyed the deep friendship that we've enjoyed over the years, many years. They lived, of all the children, they lived the closest, I'm speaking now of my sister Mary, lived the closest to the home place. And so that was another way that we often had connection. And now, as you have enjoyed each other, I've always thought that the brothers doted on their sister and enjoyed her very much. And now we share the pain. Now we share the pain. Had a friend who lost a 16-year-old son to cancer. And he had a very difficult relationship with his father. But then he, with his own son, was very, very closely knit. And his son died of cancer when he was 16. And his heart was wrenched. It was an only son. They had two daughters, an only son. And he said, "Paul, if pain is the price of love, I'm willing to pay that price." I will read the obituary and then have a few other words. Anya Danae Miller, 18, went to be with Jesus on September 10, 2013. Anya was the only daughter of Laverne and Rebecca Miller. She was born June 24, 1995 in Lyons, Kansas. Anya survived by her parents, Laverne and Rebecca Miller of Partridge, her four brothers, Floyd and wife Dorcas of El Oasis Colony, Mexico, Craig and wife Rachel of Cleburne, Texas, Lloyd and wife Arlene of Partridge, John of Partridge, her nephews, Bomani and Alex, her nieces, Daisy and Hazel. She was preceded in death by her paternal grandparents, Irvin and Mary Martha Miller, and maternal grandparents, John and Emma Miller. Anya was returning home from Hutchinson on 4th Street shortly before 12 p.m. on Tuesday, September 10. A northbound pickup truck on Heron Road collided with Anya's vehicle, striking her on the driver's side. Both vehicles ended up over 100 feet northwest of the intersection in a Milo field. Anya most likely had no time to experience fear or pain before entering into the presence of Jesus. Anya graduated this past May from Beaver Creek Christian School. She was a loyal member of Center Amish Mennonite Church. She had a wide circle of good friends and especially enjoyed participating in youth group activities. She was also involved with Hands of Christ Ministry, Royal Clovers 4-H Club, and the Kansas Youth Chorus. Anya was a talented vocal musician and pianist. She loved painting and sketching as well as domestic arts like sewing and cooking. Anya's love and loyalty was a gift to her parents, brothers, and sisters-in-law. Her love made her a favorite of nieces and nephews. Anya became a daughter of the King at 9 years of age. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace were hallmarks of her character. She will be and is, in fact, now being deeply missed. First, I would simply like to say that words are almost totally inadequate in the face of the enormity of the experience that we are confronting. And yet, I'm a preacher and a teacher, and I like words. So we offer words, we offer also our presence, our deep caring, and an ongoing caring. I appreciate so much what Arthur said. Don't think that because life goes on for many people that life will go on for them in the same way. People ask us months after, "Are you still thinking about it?" Months? Years? Yes, yes, on and on and on. That's the way life is. So we offer words, but we offer our presence. And when Jesus was at Lazarus' tomb, and Brother Arthur has already referred to this, we read that he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And then, in those dramatic, eloquent, short words, Jesus wept. Tears and hugs communicate our love, our caring. Actions communicate love. Second, I would say that attempts to explain these life-changing, gut-wrenching experiences are usually not very convincing or even terribly helpful. There are attempts sometimes to explain things theologically in a variety of ways, but these events go beyond our categories of explanation, at least go far beyond my category of explanation. And when words are so inadequate and when explanations don't seem to really explain, don't seem to really work, the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 reminds us that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And what a blessing it is to know that beyond words, the Spirit intercedes for us. Christian Wiman, whose book I've just been reading, says, "What is the difference between the cry of pain that is also a cry of praise and a cry of pain that is pure despair? Faith. The cry of faith, even if it is a cry against God, moves toward God, has its meaning in God, as in the cries of Job. God accepts our cries of anguish, the cry of pain that is also a cry of praise." So in our pain, we also cry praise to God for the young woman that Anya was, the life that she lived. As I said, our families have known each other for a long time. We have eaten together, we've worked together, we've enjoyed each other, and we all shared hard experiences. But a couple of pleasant experiences. A year ago, this was just a little bit over a year ago, my wife and I had dinner with your family at Laverne and Rebecca's house, and quite a few of the family were home at the time. I don't know for sure whether they were all home, but there were quite a few at home, and after dinner, people kind of went back to their work, to the seed farm, or whatever they were doing, and then Anya was there with us, and then Rebecca said, "Anya, would you like to go show them your artwork?" And so she did. And I was impressed with her obvious talent, which I had not known about in that area, but also with the quiet joy in her work. She wasn't proud, but she was happy to show us what she had been creating. And I was enormously impressed, and the word has already been used, with her maturity as such a young person. This was already over a year ago. And I thought to myself, what a mature young person she is, even as a middle teenager at that time. A second quick glimpse, and even shorter perhaps, but some of you may know that we enjoy visiting Carolyn's Essen House in Arlington when we are here. And we were there, my wife Nancy and I were there, and Anya was there with my sister-in-law, and I found out that they were prayer partners. And they were together, just the two of them, and they were celebrating a birthday. I thought that was pretty special. They were there together and obviously enjoying each other, and thought, you know, there's over a half a century difference in age in those two people, and yet they enjoyed each other. And then a couple of days later, we were down there again. We do visit there. And I won't say more about the food. And there they were together again. I thought, well, this is extraordinary. Well, it so happens that they both have June birthdays, and so they were celebrating their birthdays together. And I thought this was just an extraordinary kind of time where this young person is being very kind, and they're enjoying this time together in this great difference in age and experience. And, you know, one is just in the very blooming of life, and the other is a little older than I am. So I've been struck by, in my some years, and certainly not as deeply knowing her as many of you do, but I've been struck with her quiet grace, with Anya's quiet grace, with her strength, her love, her very gentle spirit. I did not know the song that we sang this morning when we were called to sing your praise, but it is so, so fitting that I thought I would read those words. It's not quite as easy to do when you don't have the text together quite. But when we were called to sing your praise with hearts so filled with pain that we would rather sit and weep or stand up to complain, remind us, God, you understand the burdens that we bear. You too have walked the shadowed way and known our deep despair. When we are called to sing your praise and cannot find our voice because our losses leave us now no reason to rejoice, remind us, God, that you accept our sad laments in prayer. You too have walked the shadowed way and known our deep despair. When we are called to sing your praise and life ahead looks grim, still give us faith and hope enough to break forth in a hymn, in a thankful hymn, great God of love, that you are everywhere. You walk the shadowed way with us and keep us in your care. So, along with Christian Wyman, we shout our praise even along with our cry of pain. That indeed is part of the paradox of faith. That's part of the paradox of faith. And with Anya, then, we embrace the cross, as we had in that, as in the bulletin, you see that as well. So thanks be to God for the person that Anya is and was, and for the God, the King, whom she served.
At this time, we're going to have two tributes read. James will read a tribute from the youth group, and then John for the family.
I'm honored to represent Center Youth Group this morning. Thank you so much for letting us in on the grieving process. I'd like to give credit to Julie Yoder for writing this, compiling this, as we go. The title is Thank You, Anya, from Your Youth Group. To our dear friend Anya, as our youth group gathered to remember you and how you lived your life, we brought many different perspectives. Some of us have known you only in your teens. Since we moved here a few years ago, we learned to know you through sharing school life, youth group activities, or Kansas youth course practices. Others of us have known you since your mother, Rebecca, came to church in a maternity dress. Of course, we didn't know then it was you she carried, but remember celebrating with Laverne's family that another baby was coming. And now we celebrate with them your home going to Jesus, even though the fabric of our friendships you wove through your days is ripped apart by your death. And yet that fabric isn't torn. We ache at your absence, but the threads that bound us to you are now stretched to heaven, pulling us toward you, toward Jesus, whom you love so deeply. The grace of Jesus that permeated your life penetrates our shattered hearts. As Christy Miller said, I don't have words to describe the last 10 years of our friendship. All the memories are so precious, but I have been amazed at God's grace the past few days. His presence has never left me, and his strength is enough. We want to learn from what your life taught us, Anya. You taught us to treasure God. Frida was part of your share group in the Kansas Youth Chorus, and she remembers how you shared, I want to be humble as I sing. I don't want the music part of it to distract me. I want to sing for God alone. And you did, Anya. As Frida said, you didn't hide your talent, but you offered it as a pure sacrifice to God, giving him the best of your lovely voice. You let it shine for Jesus. You also took all you learned about living for God at the Obsessed Girls Camp seriously, saying on your way home, girls, we've got to keep each other accountable. You were part of a small group that met to encourage each other to follow Jesus. You told us how you learned to know the love of the Father more deeply at the Wednesday morning girls' prayer meeting. Asher and Teresa asked you to play Sunrise at their wedding. Your dad was considering whether you should. When he decided that you could, he told you, I have just one more concern. As you brace yourself for some fatherly advice, he said, I'm just concerned that I will be too proud of you. Your dad's love showed you the love of the Father, and we cannot imagine how you are enjoying being with him right now. You taught us to humbly, gratefully develop the gifts God gives to each of us. Angela and Sherilyn both spoke of how you chose to intentionally develop your talents. You faithfully filled your sketchbooks, practiced your piano, and trained your voice. Angela remembered how she taught your cooking and sewing classes in 4-H, developing even those more mundane skills. As Angela said to you, you were such a cultured young woman. Anya and Lily added, she honed her gifts, and I think she brought in 100-fold from her talents. All of us remember, however, how you never flaunted your gifts or put anyone down for being less skilled than you were. Christy Mast remembers how you would help her with her questions in music too, even ask her for advice, although you were more proficient in music. Frida remembers how you turned around and told her how much you enjoyed her hearing her sing. Frida gasped, "Really? Me?" and was so honored by your sweet affirmation. Nathan Yitzi remembers your kindness when some of the underclass men joined the seniors to practice the song for your graduation. While the group was practicing Be Thou My Vision, Nathan missed singing the "so" at the end. You said, "Someone wasn't singing a so. It sounded good, but it wasn't a so." Even your criticism was sensitive and courteous. You taught us to choose joy. As Sean said of you, "The things I remember the most about her is that I don't think I've ever seen her without a smile. She was very joyful, and she would want us to be joyful. She wouldn't want us to forget her, but to have joy." Louise agreed with him, saying, "When I think about Anya, the word joy is what flowed from her. Her whole life was spent pointing people to God. I would love if her death could also point people to God." Norma loved how you were so much a part of the fabric and weave of her life. Few people outside of her sisters understood her quite like you did. You especially got her humor and chortled with her at jokes everyone else felt were lame. Hannah remembered how you were a part of nearly every part of her life. You were their third sister, sharing choir, art class, tea parties, walks, and sister parties. Recently, one evening, when you, Hannah, and Christy were feeling grouchy, you three walked to the graveyard and talked about all the things that had gone wrong. Then you squished onto a little bench and laughed at yourselves. You found joy even in the frustrating parts of life. You taught us to cherish and respect people. Carrie's last precious memory of you is the birthday party you threw for her less than a week before you died. As you gave her a gift and a hug that night, your eyes were just glowing with joy. Carrie said that you were so giving, so unselfish, and always there for your friends. She also treasures the night on Spanish trip when you were traveling on the overnight bus. You and Carrie were sitting on a seat, and Christy was on the floor. There really wasn't anything that funny. But you three laughed and laughed at everything anyway. Carrie treasures that memory now. James led your small group on mission trip when you were sent to do surveys in the neighborhood and find a meal for less than $2 a person. He remembers your respect and how easy it made it to lead. But you always had a great respect for everyone. Even when you teased us, we felt your kindness and care for us. Lillian remembers your thoughtfulness. After she gave her senior challenge at the high school, you gave her a Snapple drink and told her that she deserved a gift after all that. She said that you never condemned anyone and were so open and loving. As a senior girl squished together in a group hug at graduation, you said, "These are the moments I wish could last forever." Stephen, who was in your Sunday school class, and Angela, who later taught your Sunday school class, both remember that you used to request prayer that you wouldn't fight with John. Stephen chuckled, saying, "Fighting with siblings was an everyday occurrence for me, but it was cool that Anya cared about her brother and didn't want to hurt John." Tanya Kipfer put it best when she said, "She would just be my friend like crazy. She really cared about me. She would talk to me a lot. She was just a beautiful woman and friend to me. I never knew that when I saw her Monday evening, I would never see her again." None of us imagined that, Anya. That we couldn't see you again on earth after being in church with you that last Sunday. But you were our friend, like crazy. And as beautiful as you were here, we can't imagine how breathtaking you are right now with Jesus. We love you, Anya. We purpose to learn from you and to treasure God. We purpose to learn from you to treasure God, to develop our gifts, and to choose joy, and to cherish and respect people so that our life choices are not in vain. Thank you for all you taught us here. Thank you for being our friend. Thank you for showing us Jesus. We choose to worship him in our pain of losing you and eagerly look forward to enjoying with you what you're experiencing. Thanks.
First of all, from the family, I just say thank you. We felt very carried by God through your prayers, and we say thank you. Secondly, I want to thank Floyd and Craig, who compiled the tribute from friends and family who submitted things that we remember, some of the things we remember about Anya. There were only four boys, and we thought that's all there would be. But after 5 years, John was born. But 5 years after John was born, Mom was expecting again, and we were all very excited. It would be kind of cool, we thought, to be a family of five boys. But maybe it would be a girl. We didn't know. June 24, 1995 was in the middle of wheat harvest, but it had rained, and God had other things planned. In the morning, our family picked our green beans. We four boys stayed at home and took naps that afternoon while Mom and Dad were at Lyons Hospital. And then, just before 6 o'clock that evening, came the call. It's a girl, Anya Danae. We were excited, thrilled, and amazed. God had given us a sister. Being the youngest, of course, we had our nicknames for her. Anja Dunna, Onion, Honey, and whatever else might provoke a slight roll of the eyes. There was a stage when she was old enough to enjoy Sunday school papers. Craig would read story mates to her, adding and subtracting details to make the story more lively. And perhaps a little later in life, clearly when Anya could have been reading them for herself, Loyal enjoyed reading the young companion stories to her. Craig remembers when Anya was perhaps 4 or 5. Often she would sit on her brother's laps after meals. Usually she would go around the table, taking a turn with each of her three oldest brothers. It was almost as if even at that age, she sensed the importance of keeping a strong relationship with each of her brothers. When Anya was preschool age, Floyd gave Anya rides in his llama named Wyatt Earp. When Anya was a little girl, she and her cousins spent a lot of time playing at Grossmommy's house, which is my mother's mother. Grossmommy would often let the girls, quote, comb her hair. They had lots of fun. When Mom's siblings started getting together in Colorado every other year, Anya was still young enough to go along, so Janae, Cindy, and Melanie, of course, went as well. Uncle James would regale the four cousins with tales of fires and boyhood mischief and other exciting and interesting tales. And one time, even James took the foursome along with him on a visit to the local 911 dispatch center. One of Loyal's treasured memories is of singing with Anya and the Messiah. At the graveside later today, we'll be singing the Hallelujah Chorus. As the oldest brother in the youth group at the time, Anya joined. Loyal enjoyed his role as initiator and early advisor. Floyd remembers fondly Anya's enjoyment of the late night family parties when we were on family vacation. Games, snacks, and lots of laughter were all part of the fun. Anya would voluntarily choose family activities over others, not because she felt like she should, but because she would truly rather have been with the family. Anya and I were more nearly peers. Even just to hear the phrase, John and Anya, sounds really normal. We shared a deep love for music. Often we would play hymns on the piano together, but because I'm not very good, then I would play the left hand and Anya would play the right hand. Anya could finish my sentences, and we'd often say the exact same thing at the same time. We knew the same funny stories and sang the same songs. I enjoyed watching Anya mature through her friendships in the youth group. It was exciting for me to see her blossom from a little girl into a beautiful woman. One of my favorite memories this last summer was coming home from a long day of work and making sautéed onion and tomato sandwiches with Anya. It was our favorite summer supper. I loved coming home and asking, "So how was your day?" And then she'd tell me, along with any funny or outstanding stories she'd run across. Then she'd say, "So what did you do today?" And I'd tell her about my work. And I will miss not being able to hear her laugh or to feel her caring spirit reach out to mine. I will also miss not having her at family devotions. Since I came home from Faith Builders, we've been singing through the hymns of the church, from front cover to back cover, singing all the songs. I treasure memories of finding beautiful new songs, treasures that we discovered together that will always remind me of how much we love to sing and make music together. I was the one who taught her what a good hymn was. I was the big brother who by my life showed her what it means to worship. I was my little sister's hero.
All of the sisters-in-law enjoyed chatting with Anya, whether comparing sewing projects or processing peaches or chatting over iced lattes at Metro. Another gift to her sisters-in-law was her love for her nieces and nephews. She delighted in them, and they, of course, delighted in her. One of the gifts Anya gave to those around her was her unconditional acceptance. Anya wasn't a loud, boisterous sort of person, and sometimes the best clue to her rising emotion was a slightly reddish color in the face. Anya gave her life to Jesus in September of 2004 when she was 9. Craig remembers being out in the car with Lo when Anya came and told them. Cousin Sherry was from El Salvador, was staying at our place at the time. In an email since Anya's death, Sherry recalls, "I think she came down and said she gave her heart to Jesus, and I just shouted yes and gave her a big hug, and we shrieked and danced around the room for a while, and she was just glowing and crying with joy." Anya had a sensitive conscience. She joyfully served in a variety of organizations and groups, whether it was serving ice cream at the state fair, baking pies for family get-togethers, or taking care of nieces and nephews. Were Anya able to talk with us today? I'm sure she'd want to talk about how wonderful Jesus is.
Thank you. Hearing these reminiscings makes me think that Anya was worthy of an early departure. The other day I told Vern that you won't be able to plan her wedding, but you can plan her funeral. And I think both God and Anya were honored today. As I've listened to the comments, the speakers, what they've said, I think for all of us, we can sort of get this picture of a void that's got to be filled somehow, in some way. And there's different ways that we try to take care of that void. Sometimes through distraction, and then just trying to cover it over. May God help each one of us to fill that void from the bottom up. That's where we started today. And I believe as we worship, we fill it from the bottom up. May God have our hearts and our worship as we deal with this loss. I'd also like to just say this, that Troy and Arnold and Judy are certainly deserving of our prayers. They too are grieving, and grieving very deeply. Grieving perhaps a different kind of grief. But let's remember them in our prayers as well. I'd like to read an announcement here yet at the last. The family expresses their heartfelt gratitude for your many expressions of love, your prayers, your visits, your meals, your flowers, your warm embraces mingled with tears, and your presence here today. They say thank you, thank you. You are all invited to return here to the church for a meal after the burial. The casket will remain closed as you file by. We ask that you respect the family and the large crowd by withholding your personal greetings to the family. They welcome your interactions this afternoon. I'll now turn it back over to the ones in charge of the burial.
Jesus, oh.